Stephen, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure, Philip.
Now, I'm going to jump right into things. Generally, do you think that terror attacks do push us to the right, or is this a simplification of a far more complex issue?
Well, the issue is extremely complex, but you could probably make a fair generalization that terror attacks do tend to have a greater benefit to the right side of politics than they do to the left. But of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that politics will be entirely taken over by the right. What it will often mean is that the right side of politics will do better than they otherwise would have, which is probably to some extent what happened in the French elections. But indeed, terrorist attacks and other things, it's not just terrorist attacks, tend to lend credibility to discourses that are anti-immigration, discourses that are nationalist, and of course those discourses are traditionally aligned with the right wing of politics around the world.
Mm. Now these discourses which you mentioned, do you think that they do to some degree shift public opinion, or do you just think they're an airing out of a lot of people's ideas and they give a gateway to these opinions surfacing?
No, I think they're an airing of public opinion. Certainly, especially since 9/11, but I mean, you know, certainly over the last sort of 30 years around Europe and Australia and the United States, there's been a sort of a lot of popular rumbling about multicultural policies that have taken hold in countries. I mean, Australia in particular. I mean, the rumblings against multiculturalism really started to become heard in the 1980s. And so it's a complex relationship between sort of terrorist activity, immigration, public opinion. What I think maybe a good way to see it is that certainly over the last 30 years, immigration has been ramped up all around the world, particularly non-Anglo-European immigrants going into Anglo-European countries. That has created, for a lot of people, particularly people in sort of the working classes, who are very attached to their place and who are very attached to a certain kind of national identity and national aesthetic, that has made them very uneasy. And then when you have terrorist attacks, you could argue that that's kind of the spark that ignites the kind of powder keg that's been piling up for quite a while.
Mm. Well, I suppose it did happen in Manchester, this most recent attack. Now, the powder keg, as you mentioned, it's the British elections. They're imminent at the moment. Do you think that the powder keg of the Manchester attacks will yield a consequence, a tangible impact on the British elections, or do you think it won't change things too much?
That is just really hard to tell. These kinds of things, you might find that it'll sort of improve the vote of sort of the ultra-conservative parties, but it won't necessarily hand them a victory. That's the thing. I don't think you're going to find elections determined by a sort of a single event like Manchester. But what will happen is it will just lend more credibility to any political party that makes limiting or stopping immigration, particularly Islamic immigration, a central platform. So the exact consequences are just too hard to tell. It will improve the chances of ultra-conservatives. It won't hand them government, but it'll be good for them.
If you've just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking this morning with Dr. Stephen Chavoura about the potential political consequences and the right-wing boost that terror attacks like the Manchester attacks that we saw last week could have. Now, Stephen, you said that it would be quite difficult to predict the sort of impacts that these attacks would have on the upcoming English election. Now, over in France, we've seen a lot of terror tragedies in the last few years, and yet, surprisingly, the right was beaten out in the recent French elections, with Emmanuel Macron winning over Marie Le Pen. In looking at something like this, what does this indicate, that victory?
That's a good... I mean, the French elections are incredibly complicated, and this one in particular. What this particular election signified was something actually similar in some ways to the US election last year. That is that you know, many voters have just lost confidence in the traditional left and right parties. Probably overall, the French politics has kind of leaned a bit more to the right with this election, because at the end of the day, Macron is not a traditional leftist socialist. He's for deregulation. He's very pro-EU. And Le Pen, of course, is far right. So all things considered, the vote has moved slightly more to the right. But as you say, the far right embodied in Le Pen did not prevail. In fact, it was absolutely trounced by the centrist Macron. Now, the big question is, you know, why did Macron win? And he's sort of being described as, in some ways, the accidental president in that he won as much owing to the failures of his opponents as to his own strength. But Le Pen, for example, very much tapped into an anti-immigration sentiment that is there in France. But Le Pen had certain demons that she had to fight. The name Le Pen is very much associated with anti-Semitism and Nazism in the minds of a lot of the French. And so that was something she really tried to shake, and she's been trying to shake that for 5 years. And in actual fact, when you think about it, she hasn't done too badly. I mean, she wound up getting around about 34% of the vote and making it into the final elections, which is unprecedented for that party. So they actually did quite well. But again, for a lot of people, the name Le Pen simply means anti-Semitism and sort of quasi-Nazism. And the other thing with Le Pen, and this is the same for Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, is that although a lot of people might sympathise with their anti-immigration, anti-Islamism, they both want to leave the EU. And the French economy is doing quite badly. Unemployment is very high. And for a lot of people, the last thing they need is the kind of economic instability that may arise from exiting the euro and exiting the EU. Now, to Macron's credit, his party is not the kind of sort of revolutionary party that Le Pen is. But at the same time, he is about change, and a lot of his changes would ring quite positively for a lot of people. So he wants to cut public spending and boost investment into jobs, particularly apprenticeships and things like that. He wants to shrink the public sector. He is pro-EU. He wants more police. So people who are worried about sort of crimes committed by immigrants, those kinds of people who might otherwise vote for Le Pen, won't feel entirely abandoned by Macron. So I think for most people, the Macron victory wasn't unexpected, and Le Pen just had some real obstacles to overcome, and of course she couldn't.
Mm. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that although the hard right party didn't win out, it was still a move in the right in going with a centrist candidate, Emmanuel Macron. Now, with this in mind, all across different nations, do you think we're going to see a shift to the centre as people, you know, try and move away from the hard right, but also away from the left as well?
I think it's very hard to tell. I mean, a lot of it will depend on the state of the European economy. It will depend on the state of the American economy. It will depend on sort of how well Europe does over the next 5 years between some of the next sort of major European elections. And it will also, quite frankly, depend on things like terrorist attacks. And it's not just terrorist attacks that push people to the right, as you probably know. In Europe, you know, in countries like Sweden, France, Germany in particular, in the Netherlands, around England, there are deep concerns about Islamic enclaves emerging, which many people see as a threat to national stability. stability and for national identity. And these things are also playing a heavy role in lending credibility to the far right. And so if those kinds of things continue, and then you have more and more terrorist attacks on top of that, and let's say, you know, economies continue to still do badly, then you might find that the trend goes more towards the right than it does to the centre. It's all just very, very hard to tell. I mean, in the case of Brexit, one of the reasons that the English could vote to leave the EU, whereas the French couldn't, is that culturally speaking, to the English, the EU is simply an economic arrangement. It is really nothing more than that. Whereas to the French, the EU is not just an economic arrangement. It's kind of a symbol of post-World War II peace and harmony. And so in England, the feeling of the EU, the sense of the EU is not as sentimental as it is in France. And the problem is different countries in Europe have different sort of cultures, but different ways of seeing things like the EU. This is a rather hard thing to predict at this point. But it'll either go right or centre. I can't see things going far to the left. One of the big issues is, quite frankly, Islamic immigration, Islamic communities, and terrorism, and all of these things lend themselves to the right.
Mm. Well, there are a lot of factors, as you said. It's very hard to tell where things will go. A lot of balls in play here. So with the imminent elections, it's going to be very interesting to see how they do unfold in the wake of Manchester. Stephen, thanks so much for joining me this morning and to give us your opinions.
Always a pleasure, Philip. You have a great day.